conference call. Let's start with Mangalacharan. Narayanam namaskrityam naranchaya narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayamudiraye nashtaprayeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Garavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Chapter 20 Verse 32 Maitreya Uvacha Iti adirajena nutasa vishvadrik tamaha rajan mai bhakti rastute dishtye drishidhir mai te kritayaya mayam madiyam taratisma dushtya jam. Word-to-word translation. Maitreya, the great sage, Uvacha spoke. Iti, thus, Adi Rajena, by the original king, Prithu, Nutaha, being worshipped, Saha, he, the supreme personality of Godhead, Vishwadrik, the seer of the whole universe, Tam, unto him, Aha, said, Rajan, my dear king, Mai, unto me, Bhaktihi, devotional service, Astu, let it be, Te, your, Dishtya, by good fortune, Idrishi, like this, Dhihi, intelligence, Mai, unto me, Te, by you, Krita, having been performed, Yaya, by which, Maya, illusory energy, Madiyam, my, Tarati, crosses over, Sma, certainly, Dushtya Jam, very difficult to give up. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued by saying that the Lord, the seer of the universe, after hearing Prithu Maharaj's prayer, addressed the king. My dear king, may you always be blessed by engaging in my devotional service. Only by such purity of purpose, as you yourself very intelligently express, can one cross over the insurmountable illusory energy of Maya. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Lord also claims that the illusory energy is insurmountable. No one can transcend the illusory energy of Maya by fruitive activity, speculative philosophy, or mystic yoga. The only means for transcending illusory energy is devotional service, as the Lord Himself states, Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite in Bhagavad Gita 7.14. If one wants to cross over the ocean of material existence, there is no alternative than to take to devotional service. A devotee, therefore, should not care for any material position, whether in heaven or in hell. A pure devotee should always engage in the service of the Lord, for that is his real occupation. Simply by sticking to that position, one can overcome the stringent laws of material nature. Om Tat Sat. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Mande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Hare Krishna. So, we are in the context of, we are actually almost in the end of the 20th chapter of the fourth canto, which talks about how Maharaja Prithu planned to perform 100 horse sacrifices. And after performing 99 horse sacrifices, because Indra was competing with Prithu Maharaj to make him fall down, Prithu Maharaj was requested by Lord Brahma to give up the sacrifice, the last sacrifice, so that Indra, and make peace with Indra so that Indra will be pacified. And Prithu Maharaj had such wonderful qualities that he gave up doing the sacrifice. He was ready to sacrifice the results of his sacrifice and please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And after being pleased with Prithu Maharaj, the Lord asks him to ask for something. And Prithu Maharaj, in the previous verse, very humbly says that, how can I ask you for anything? Because just like how a dad fulfills the desires of his son, you can give me whatever, you will definitely do the best for me. So he had complete faith on the Lord, and he says that he can give him whatever he wants. And in this verse, the Lord is so much pleased with Prithu Maharaj that he says that, because of his intelligence and purity of purpose, he will award him that he will always be engaged in the Lord's devotional service. Such a wonderful blessing the Lord gave to Prithu Maharaj. Because Prithu Maharaj was even ready to sacrifice the results of his own sacrifice. So this is a very interesting verse, and we can have some sets of reflections from this. The first one is about the point that the Lord talks about in the translation, that he says, Prithu Maharaj, that you intelligently express such purity of purpose. So in order to cross over the material existence, we not only just need intelligence, we need purity and purpose. And just by simply purity, purpose, and simplicity, we can cross over illusion. That is why the purity is very, very important. What we want to achieve is very important. Whether our end goal is to please the Supreme Lord or our end goal is to attain something materially or something that is good for us, what will be our goal? That is most important. So intelligence, the first reflection can be that everybody cannot be intellectual, but everybody can become intelligent. So there is some difference between both. Intellectual is if somebody is intellectual, then it is a Brahmanical quality. That means that they have the ability to process information, such as the ability to memorize, the ability to recollect, the ability to the ability to categorize, the ability to analyze, synthesize, etc., etc. So if somebody is intellectual, that means that God, the Supreme Lord, has given him this ability as a gift from the past life. So everybody cannot become intellectual. It depends on karma, it depends on so many other factors. But everybody has the choice to become intelligent. Now, what is intelligence? Intelligence means that One is able to discern right from wrong, or one is able to discern material from spiritual, or one is able to differentiate what is temporarily seeming very pleasing to the senses or something that is in the long run going to be good for us. And then based on that, he makes decisions. He chooses the right course of action. So intelligence is basically decision making. And everybody can become intelligent by performing devotional service. It is a choice. So how do we know that a person is intelligent? Because we can understand that when a person is intelligent, he will be always consistent in his actions, especially in his devotional service to Krishna in any kind of situation. And second thing is that his actions will be the same as his words. His actions and words will be in sync. And also, he will not give in to innate inclinations, or he will not react emotionally to situations. So this is how we can understand somebody is intelligent. And definitely everybody can gain this with devotional service. That is why it is said that women are sometimes less intelligent. Why it is said so? That is because their emotions take over their intelligence sometimes. Many women, they have very good intellectual capabilities. They are very talented and they are very capable. But because of emotional weaknesses, they make wrong decisions. And that is why they say that women need to be protected all the time. But this need not be necessarily true when a woman takes up to devotional service. Because when a woman surrenders unto Krishna, Krishna will definitely give her the intelligence to take the right course of action and to guide her in devotional service. In fact, some women are so strong and courageous even than some of the men. So Krishna says in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita also, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. For those who perform devotional service with love and devotion, I give the intelligence with which they can come to me. So intelligence can be gained by anyone and everyone. It is not reserved for some people alone. So with intellectual capabilities, one may be able to memorize a lot of verses. One may be able to quote a lot of references from other scriptures and may have a lot of knowledge and will be able to recollect a lot of things in the right moment. So these things are intellectual capabilities. By reading scriptures, they can do all these things. But an intelligent person, he will be able to gather the essence of what he has read from the scriptures, and he will be able to apply it in the day-to-day life. So that can be done by everyone. The second reflection that we can have from this is shloka is that intelligence is a component of devotion. It is not a competitor to devotion. Many times what happens is that when a person gains a lot of knowledge, his ego gets boosted and he tends to think that he is superior to others. So the superiority complex comes in because of the intelligence. So then intelligence becomes a competitor to devotion, because our focus is not to gain some popularity. Our focus is to please the Supreme Lord. So we should not allow intelligence to become a competitor. It should only be a component. When someone performs devotional service very diligently, what happens is that his intelligence, his morality, and his conduct rises. And then he becomes a very good example of the potency of devotion. Now, when somebody goes to that level, he becomes an example for others to follow. But he should not think that just because he is an example for others, one should not think that one is better than the others. We should only think that when we reach that level, when one reaches the level of setting an example, one should only think that others, one is better than the better position than the others. Because any day we might fall down, and definitely becoming proud is not at all a good sign. And it will not allow us to progress further in our spiritual life also. So setting an example can be done in a mood of boosting our ego, and setting an example can be done also as a service. So devotees do it as a service, setting an example. Because when a person realizes that how much more he has to know, then he becomes very humble. So we should always take a very humble position. As in the Sikshashtakam, it is said, Trinadapi Shunichena Taroreva Sahishnuna, that one should be more humbler than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. When a person gains a lot of knowledge, what happens is that when somebody knows a little bit, that time they become very proud and they try to exhibit their knowledge to others. They try to show off. But when somebody knows more, they gain a lot of knowledge about Krishna, then they actually become humble. Like how a tree full of fruits, it bows down. Whereas a tree which does not have fruits, which is not full and which is barren, it just grows tall and straight. So, and also there is another famous quote that people say, that empty vessels make more noise, and vessels which are full, they actually don't make noise. So our focus should not be to establish that I am superior to someone. This is what is the difference between jnana in jnana marga and jnana in bhakti marga. In jnana, what happens is that our vision is focused on how we are better than others. So one tends to think that, see, I can memorize this shloka very well and he is not able to. I can fast nirjal on ekadashis and he is not able to. So on and so forth. So we start comparing ourselves how better we are than the others. And then we start to think that I'm so great. But actually we are not great. Krishna is great. Our focus in bhakti marga, what happens is our focus is on Krishna. So when a devotee's vision is focused on Krishna, he only tends to increase his awareness of Krishna's greatness. So the intelligence helps in increasing his awareness of Krishna's greatness. So that is where the focus is in bhakti marga. Our purpose is not to show to others that, you know, I'm so great, I'm such a nice devotee. Of course, in the mind, many times we tend to, we feel happy when we get appreciation from others. But that should not make us stagnant. That should not stop us from progressing further in understanding about Krishna's greatness. So our focus should be to completely understand about Krishna. In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the last verse, Krishna says, Yo mamevam asammudo janati purushottamam sasarvavid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. That so our second reflection says that intelligence should be a component, not a competitor of bhakti. And in this verse, Yoma Meva Masammudo, Krishna says that one who understands me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to have understood everything. So such persons always perform devotional service very steadily, consistently. So we understand that with our intelligence, we should not really doubt what Krishna says in his scriptures. We should accept what Krishna is. And we should have faith that one day we will be able to understand about Krishna completely. Once what happened is in Haridas Thakur, he went to Raghunath Das Goswami's house. That is his father's house. And there, a lot of learned scholars and brahmanas had gathered, and they were discussing that what will give liberation. They were discussing whether the holy names will give liberation or not. So some people agreed, some people did not agree, and there was a quarrel going on there. And when Haridas Thakur arrived there, they received him with great warmth, and they also asked him the same question. To that, Haridas Thakur very humbly replied, saying that actually pure name, pure holy name is not required even to achieve liberation, because just by semblance of the holy name, that is Namabhas, one can easily achieve liberation. And then he went on to quote the example of Ajamila's story, and then he said that by chanting a semblance of the holy names, Ajamila was able to go back to the spiritual world. So what then to speak of people who chant the holy names with faith and reverence? When one of the Brahmanas named Gopal Chakravarti, who was there, heard this from Srila Haridas Thakur, he got extremely angry. And then he told Haridas Thakur that even holy names cannot give liberation. Then how can you say that even semblance of the holy name can give liberation to others? And he said very angrily that if I am right, then your nose will melt away in leprosy. Your nose will fall off. And if I am wrong, then my nose will fall off. So he said like this, and then everybody gathered there were really shocked, and they were scolding him, and they were really angry at him. Even Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's father himself, he said he was so angry at this Brahmana. He said that he will cut off all connection with him because of offending Srila Haridas Thakur. So after a few days, this Brahmana, Gopal Chakravarti, he developed leprosy all over his body. And then his nose melted away. He was suffering so badly in leprosy. And then he realized what mistake he had done. He went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fell at his feet and asked for forgiveness that he had offended such a high-class devotee like Srila Haridas Thakur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very merciful, he forgave this person, Gopal Chakravarti. And then he said that this is the glories of the holy name. So he advised him to chant the holy names of Lord Krishna. And then Gopal Chakravarti did so. And eventually, he got over his got back his beautiful body, and then the leprosy went off from his body. So this shows that how much of faith we have to have on the Supreme Lord and his devotees' words, that we should not really doubt everything with our intelligence, because everything may not make sense to our intelligence, and that is going to be our third reflection as well, that we should make the intelligence as a minister, not as the master. Now, a minister in a kingdom is a very important person because he gives very, very good inputs to the king. But the minister himself is not the decision maker. The king is the decision maker. So a minister should give good inputs, but we should not make the minister as the decision maker. So intelligence is considered, should be considered as a minister, that we should take all good inputs from intelligence. But some things may not make sense to the intelligence. Like, for example, Krishna works on the platform of love. In this regard, there is a very sweet pastime from the Brahma Vimohan Leela, that when Brahma actually came to take the boys and the cows, that time he saw that Krishna and his cowherd boys, friends, had come to gather to share their lunch with each other. And Madhu Mangal, he of course liked to eat a lot, but he was from a very poor background. So he had just got some buttermilk, which was not very good in quality. So he was feeling very embarrassed to give that to Krishna, because he knows that Krishna will ask each and every friend to show what they brought, and he would like to eat from each and every one of them. So he thought that, you know, this is really not worthy of giving it to Krishna. So I should probably somehow try to escape from facing that situation and giving such a low quality buttermilk to Krishna. So what he did is, when everybody gathered around as a picnic to share their lunch, Madhu Mangal just ran away, and then he hid himself behind a bush. And he was drinking this buttermilk very fast. And Krishna could sense that he was missing. So he went searching for Madhu Mangal, and then he found that Madhu Mangal was hiding behind this bush. And then when Madhu Mangal saw Krishna, he very hastily wanted to finish off his buttermilk so that Krishna would not come and ask him. And he doesn't have to face the situation of offering him such a low quality buttermilk. So he just put everything in his mouth, and his mouth was just full, and it was really swollen with, I mean, his cheeks were full. So then Krishna came very fast, and then he really tapped on his cheeks. And then some of the buttermilk, it came out of his mouth and it fell on Krishna's body, and it also fell a little outside. And Krishna, he took some of the buttermilk from which fell on his body and he licked it. And then Madhu Mangal was like really embarrassed. But Brahma, who had been watching all this from above, he was really shocked. What? This person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because it is such a thing that nobody would like to do, that to taste something from that had fallen from somebody's mouth. So Krishna, because of love for his devotees, he was ready to do all these things. And Brahma was completely bewildered and shocked to see such a person and to believe that he's the Supreme Person. So Krishna works on the platform of love. He does not really, he's not necessarily impressed by intelligence or by, like as it is said in the purport, that by doing mystic yoga or other things. He works on the platform of love. And Madhu Mangal was so devoted to Krishna that he did not want him, out of love for Krishna, he did not want him to taste that buttermilk. And Krishna, out of love for Madhu Mangal, he wanted to taste the buttermilk. So this is how Krishna and his devotees work. And it may not be always logical. It may not make sense to our intelligence. So if something does not make sense to our intelligence right away, we cannot conclude that the whole process of devotional service is wrong. In fact, we should think that when something does not make sense to our intelligence, we should only think that right now, I am finite and Krishna is infinite. And right now, I may not be able to understand certain things. And if Krishna so desires, in future, I may be able to understand what is the greatness of Krishna. And Krishna will reveal to me if required. And we should just have complete faith on the process, and we should go on with our devotional service very steadily. This is what Krishna expects also from us. So our intelligence, because we have to understand that there is a trans intelligence or something beyond our intelligence, and that is Krishna. When we think beyond our intelligence, we are not negating our intelligence. We are not negating what our intelligence says. Intelligence is also required. But we have to understand that certain things are just beyond our intelligence, which we cannot comprehend. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead was, to be understood by our intelligence, then the intelligence will become superior to the Supreme. That means to say that Krishna will become subordinate to our intellectual scrutiny. And Krishna cannot become subordinate to our intellectual scrutiny. And there is another pastime. The second example is about a story from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. Once when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, when he went to Mathura in South, that is called as Madurai, there was a Brahmana called as Ramadasa Vipra. And Ramadasa Vipra was a very great devotee, and he was an authority on Sri Ramachandra. And when Ramadasa Vipra met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he invited him to his house and he said that, please come and have lunch with me. And he was so much in the mood of Lord Ramachandra that after taking a bath in Kritamala River, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he visited this Brahmana's house and he saw that he had not prepared any food. So when he asked, why you have not prepared any food, the Brahmana said that, we are living in the forest right now and I'm waiting for Lakshmana to bring roots, fruits and flowers and vegetables. And after he brings, then Sita will cook prasadam. And then he said, he was just so absorbed in these thoughts that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really appreciated his method of worshipping Lord Ramachandra. Anyway, he was so much absorbed in these thoughts that he delayed his cooking, and it became very late by the time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had lunch. And he was still upset. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "My dear Brahmana, why are you so upset?" Then the Brahmana said that, "You know, I have decided to end my life. I have no purpose in living anymore, because Mother Sita, who is the goddess of the universe, who is the goddess of fortune herself, she was touched by Ravana, the demon. And I cannot accept this. She's the goddess of fortune. And how can she be touched by the demon Ravana?" And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard him, he was simply amazed by his devotion to Lord Ramachandra. And he tried to pacify the Brahmana by saying that, "My dear Brahmana, don't feel so upset, because Mother Sita could not have been touched by Ravana, because Mother Sita is so much beyond the material platform that she cannot even be seen by the material eyes. What to speak of being touched by materialistic hands? So please consider this case. Definitely Ravana must have kidnapped only her illusory form, not the real Sita. Please have faith." And then somehow, because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words, he was a little pacified, and he had faith that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words will not be false. So he had faith on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words. And then from there on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to various other places in South India. And when he went to so many other places, he happened to come to Rameshwaram once. And in Rameshwaram, there were a group of Brahmanas who were discussing from the Kurma Purana about the chastity of Mother Sita. And there they were reading out that Mother Sita, before being kidnapped by Ravana, she took refuge of the fire god Agni. And Agni actually took the real form of Sita and kept her with goddess Parvati. And then he gave away an illusory form of Sita. So just before being kidnapped by Ravana, Agni Deva, he replaced original Sita with illusory Sita, and Ravana only kidnapped the illusory Sita. So that was like a proof. And then they also went on to read that after the Ramayana war, after Ravana was killed, the original Sita was given back by Agni Devi when she tried to prove her chastity by entering into the fire. At that time, Agni, he gave back the real Sita and he took the illusory form of Sita back. So this was like a complete proof, and when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he was very satisfied. Then he requested those Brahmanas that, "May I please take this manuscript?" Because the manuscript had become very old and it was almost worn out. So he wanted to take that as a proof to show the Brahmana in Madurai. So he requested these Brahmanas, and they were also thinking that because this copy had become old, they made a new copy of these manuscripts, and they gave the old copy to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this old copy of the manuscripts of Kurma Purana to Brahmana Ramadas Vipra. And then Ramadas Vipra, when he heard all this, he was so happy and he fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said that, "I am so happy that you really alleviated all my sadness and my unhappiness by explaining all this to me. I'm so fortunate. So last time when you had come to my house, I was so absorbed and upset with this fact that I did not really give good lunch to you. So please stay back today and I will prepare a very nice lunch, dinner for you." And then so that night Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in that Brahmana's house and he had dinner. So this incident goes on to prove that some things, the Brahmana, he had a lot of faith on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words, that he convinced himself that although some things are not making any sense to me right now, some things are not really convincing to me, to my intelligence, I will still have faith on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words. So we should have faith like that. When we perform devotional service, we should become intelligent, and our intelligence should deepen our affection for Krishna. It should not really challenge what Krishna has said or what Krishna did. If that happens, then our intelligence is becoming the master. It's not becoming a minister. It's not doing good to us. We should always use intelligence as a tool to understand Krishna more and more. And when one understands Krishna more and more, he becomes more steady in his devotional service and becomes very humble. So this is what we should achieve. And this is what we learn from Prithu Maharaja's life as well, that he had such wonderful qualities because of performing devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And his end goal was to please the Supreme Lord. Even Arjuna and Duryodhana's example goes on to say that before the Kurukshetra war began, Arjuna and Duryodhana approached Krishna for help. So Krishna told Duryodhana that I can offer two things. So both of them actually went to ask for Krishna's help. And Duryodhana was sitting by his head side on the bed, because Krishna was sleeping at that time. Duryodhana sat on the side of his head and Arjuna sat at the side of his feet, which indicates that Arjuna was really trying to be humble, like being a humble servant of Krishna. So he went in the mood of a devotee, and Duryodhana went in the mood of gaining something from Krishna because he thought he was very intelligent. So he sat at the head side, and when Krishna opened his eyes, he saw Arjuna first. And then he said, yes, Arjuna, what do you want? So he said that I have two things to offer. One is me alone without any weapons. I am not going to fight in the Kurukshetra war. So you have a choice of just choosing me on your side, or you have a choice of choosing my whole army, which was like a really big army. So Arjuna said that, you know, I'm simply having complete faith on you, Sri Krishna, that I just want you by my side, even without weapons. I'm fine, but I just want you by my side. I don't want any army, because if I have you by my side, then I'm sure that success will be mine. And then Duryodhana was very happy that although he did not get the first chance to ask, he was very happy in his mind, thinking that, you know, somehow Krishna did not give the army to Arjuna, because he wanted to ask for the army from Krishna. So Duryodhana, he was working with intelligence and he was planning very strategically how to win the war. He did not approach Krishna as a devotee. He was trying to approach Krishna with his intelligence, whereas Arjuna was trying to approach Krishna with purity of purpose. So that was the difference between Duryodhana and Arjuna. And also Duryodhana, he actually went to please Lord Balarama to gain his favor, indirectly to gain the favor of Krishna, but he did not approach Krishna directly. He was trying to approach through Balarama. And then Balarama went on a tour of pilgrimage, and then he could not participate in the war. So he did not really gain anything out of it. So the mood in which we approach Krishna is very, very important. We should not really think that we know everything or we can understand Krishna completely. Only by the mercy of Krishna and his pure devotees, we will be able to understand more and more about Krishna. And also, it is said that bhakti is not just about sentiment. Bhakti is using all our capabilities in devotional service to Krishna, our mind, our emotions, and our intelligence in the service of Krishna. So that way our head and our heart have to go together in order to achieve the Supreme Lord Krishna. And even Srila Prabhupada himself says that religion without philosophy is just sentiment or sometimes even fanaticism. Whereas philosophy without religion is just dry mental speculation. So both are required. Some amount of philosophy, some amount of sentiment. It's a combination of both, because there are certain situations which may not really make sense to our intelligence. But that does not negate the role of intelligence. Intelligence is definitely important for us to understand and to realize the greatness of Krishna and to also perform devotional service steadily. But rational thinking and sentiment is required. Both are required, hand in hand. Because only by intelligence we will be able to appreciate the greatness of Krishna. So that is the conclusion, that intelligence and faith on the Supreme Lord are required for us to progress in spiritual life. And in the modern world, everybody is so result-oriented nowadays. So much so that as practicing devotees, sometimes even we tend to think what we can gain out of this. Everybody is so calculative that we are so result-oriented. And we are not really focused on pleasing Krishna. We are only focused on gaining worldly popularity or gaining something out of it materially, that we have become contaminated by all these kinds of thoughts. By reading all these scriptures, we understand how pure our thoughts should be, that our devotional service should be unmotivated, unalloyed, and undeviated. We should be completely devoted to pleasing the Supreme Lord Krishna. So it's so difficult to find, it's so rare to find characteristics like Prithu Maharaj, who did 99 horse sacrifices and who he was ready to give up the last horse sacrifices, after which, if he had done hundreds of horse sacrifices, he could have achieved so many other things materially. But he was ready to give up the results because he was such a pure devotee of Krishna. So this is what Krishna calls as purity of purpose, that we really understand what is the purpose of performing devotional service. Not to prove that we are better than somebody, not to prove that we are setting a very good example for others, so others should look upon us. That is not our purpose. Many times people get, all of us get bewildered by such things, such thoughts. But we should always be focused that when we understand what we have, how much more we have to know about Krishna, then we will, what we already know will become very insignificant. What we know is not as important as what we want to know about Krishna. So we should focus on what we have to more know more about Krishna. When our focus is there, then we will not get bewildered by praise, appreciation, or even position. So when we become more and more knowledgeable, when we advance more in our spiritual life, we will become more and more humble. And as it is said in the purport, as Prabhupada says in the purport of this verse, that there is no other means of deliverance other than performing devotional service. And Kali Santarana Upanishad also confirms this by saying, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti Shodashaka Namnam, Kali Kalmasha Nashanam, Nataha Paratara Upayate, Sarva Vedeshu Drishyate. That if we scrutinizingly analyze throughout the Vedas, then we will understand that there is no other means of deliverance in Kali Yuga other than chanting the 16-syllabled mantra, Shodashaka Namnam, 16-syllabled mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the only means of deliverance in Kali Yuga. And how much ever we research more, how much ever we try to use our intellectual capabilities to speculate, we will not be able to find any other solution other than to perform devotional service. So it is an intelligent decision to always chant the holy names, to serve the Supreme Lord in devotion, and to be always Krishna conscious. With this, I would like to conclude here and open the forum for any discussions, questions, comments, or corrections. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
Sarajan
started off by differentiating between what is intellectual and what is intelligent, and then connecting intelligence where it was used, how it was used, versus accepting the mercy of the Lord. Very, very nice stories of Gopal Chakravarti as well as the southern Brahmana, the Rama Vyasputra Brahmana. So, Mataji, I had a question from the class.
Yes, Mataji. So, with
intelligence, initially it is required, I mean, not the intellectual type of intelligence, rather intelligence in Krishna consciousness. Because as you rightly mentioned, even sentimentalism is not good. So tell me if this is correct understanding.
Hare Krishna Mataji, we cannot hear your question properly. Mataji, it's echoing. When Mataji asks the question, Sarojanani Mataji, can you mute yourself, please?
Sure, Mataji. Preeti Vilasni Mataji, thank you very much for all the comments. Can you please repeat your question again?
Yes, yes. So first of all, the class was so beautiful. I was thinking every minute, what are you going to say next? What are you going to say? It was very, very nice. And you kept up the interest. We felt very captivated, actually. So it was very, very nice. So,
thank you, Mataji.
Yeah. The question was, I started thinking too much, but I just had this question. Of course, you differentiated between what is a mundane intellectual thing and what is intelligence and Krishna consciousness. So that part I understood. Then the intelligence, you know, sometimes it takes over the faith in Krishna, right? That part when you were explaining. I was just thinking, is this correct to understand that initially that kind of intelligence is required because we can't take up anything in a sentimental passion? But then as the faith develops, then faith in Krishna becomes, or rather, you know, you can doubt Krishna, or maybe this is Shastra says this, so this is what it is. But sometimes Krishna becomes beyond that, and the way he associates, the way he interacts with his devotees. So over a period of time, as the intelligence is matured, and one is able to follow Krishna consciousness very nicely, over a period of time, even that intelligence becomes a hindrance in the faith in Krishna. Is that correct? Because then faith in Krishna becomes more prominent over the intelligence that we initially used to clear our doubts. Is that correct?
Yes, Mataji. Really, very nice point. This is definitely a very nice statement that you made. And of course, as a joke, it is said that, you know, when scientists, when they go into the quantum philosophy, if they think that they know, they have understood the quantum philosophy, then that means that they have not understood quantum philosophy. This is a joke in the material level to say that, you know, when we understand that there is so much more to know, then we understand that we don't know everything, or we can't understand everything. So definitely to understand, to fix our faith on Krishna, to understand that this is the right process, intelligence is required. And to also understand that we cannot understand everything at the moment, unless Krishna wants to reveal certain things to us, we might not be able to understand certain things. So we should have the faith and continue steadily. So definitely our intelligence should help us in developing the faith when we perform devotional service. So thank you for adding that point. Really nice.
No, I was not adding. I was only trying to pretty much repeat your entire class and see if I understood.
Yes, Mataji. It's perfect understanding. Yes.
Thank you. But very beautiful. Even, you know, certain things that the way Krishna interacts with the devotees, we tend to think, oh, that's just not like you talk about Brahma. So, yeah, eventually we develop doubts, but then understand, like very wisely, you said that's only intelligence is only a minister. That's very nice. Nice, Mataji. Thank you very much for such a brilliant session.
Thank you, Mataji, for all the inputs and the encouraging words. Anybody else who would like to add anything or who has any questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavat Pranam, Shri Prabhupada Ji, Maharaj Ji. Such a beautiful class, Mataji. Many points to be given on. Very nice points, Mataji. So in a day-to-day life, we are just going through that situation. situations that sometimes we may, you know, think that, you know, we like fall in the Maya, think that we are the superior or we know everything. Like we have such a nice stories we are telling, like, you know, realizing that we are nothing in front of Krishna, and like we are, you know, showing our position, and you know, it's very, very nice. It was very beautiful. So many stories, Mataji, so many points that you have explained. Thank you so much, Mataji. It really helped me a lot. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Vinaya Mataji, for adding that point. And actually, I was just remembering this when you were saying this, that once Srila Prabhupada's disciple, he said that, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I'm so fallen, I'm so, you know, materialistic, I'm such a rascal, I'm this, I'm that. And then Srila Prabhupada just stopped him suddenly, and then he said, you are nothing. So when we focus too much on ourselves, and when we compare ourselves with others, then, you know, that is not humility, just to, you know, talk about ourselves. If we talk about devotees, if we talk about Krishna and how great he is, then, you know, that is humility. So just wanted to share what was running at that time. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such encouraging words. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Your voice is awesome, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, yes.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, please accept the humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. The class is simply super. What's Mataji? Zen Mataji. So Zen Mataji. I like each and every point, and the stories you narrated are very, very excellent, Mataji. So deep, Mataji. And we got a clear understanding of how to behave in Krishna consciousness. Thank you so much, Mataji, for this class.
Thank you, Mataji, for such encouraging words.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna.
And for putting the you know, the use of our intelligence in its proper place, you know. I really appreciated your point about the proper place that intelligence has in relationship to Krishna. You know, if you're using our intelligence and that intelligence is not increasing our faith in Krishna, then it's a misuse of our intelligence, actually. So, yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kamodika Mataji. Thank you so much for being present and bringing this point and adding your realization as well. Thank you.
Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions for Mataji? Thank you so much, Mataji, once again, for such a beautiful class. Is there any more questions for Mataji?
Thank you all very much. Yes, thank you all very much for this opportunity and listening very patiently. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, once again. Let's all offer obeisances to Mataji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpa tarupyasya kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavan lipyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Hare Saroja Nandini Mataji ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Thank you, everybody gathered.